This is the B&J podcast. Parents, don't let your children listen to this fucking filth. Fucking filth. Fucking filth.
This is LA. Our city, our home. Los Angeles. We never walk alone. Forever true. We'll stay in tribute to our city. No matter where we go, this is our home. On the Sunset Strip, the devil's heart. If you wanna play, you gotta pay, you know, to keep the cops from going under. That's the price that breaks the flowers every fool before. Underneath the haze, the streets of this phase. All the way from the 10 to the 5 to the 134. These streets are nothing but a parking lot. But I don't care, cause I'm not going anywhere. This is LA, our city, our home. Los Angeles, we never walk alone. Forever true, we'll stay in tribute to our city. No matter where we go, this is our home. It's 2 a.m. again, when will I ever learn? If those warm winds blow me home tonight, I'll have a place to lay my head. I'll leave my troubles at the foot of my bed. On the West Coast shore, it's been far too long. So what if I got no money in my pockets? I'll always stand up strong, cause I'm in the city.
Meanwhile, it's played along to him. Centering pass, flagged down by Green. Played into traffic, though. Starting back up with it now is Martinez in a 3-on-2. Clifford gave it across. It's held in a shot. Safe. Rebound. Martinez.
Welcome to the B&J Podcast.
Podcast.
That was last. Well, we're recording this Saturday morning, afternoon. Actually, I guess it is afternoon. Whatever. That was the NBC call of Alec Martinez's goal that clinched the Stanley Cup for the Kings, their second in 3 years. I am Jay.
I'm B.
And before we really get into this podcast is brought to you, actually, by Hillbilly Nerd Talk.
Oh.
HillbillyNerdTalk.com. It's a podcast done by Hank and Petra, self-professed hillbillies. And they do a very amusing podcast. They live out in eastern Kentucky, up by Appalachia country and whatnot. So they're basically sort of similar to us, but they talk about sex way less than we do.
Yeah, it's a lot less dirty.
Yeah, but amusing nonetheless.
Yeah, still so good.
Give them a listen, hillbillynerdtalk.com, and they're a lot more polished than us. They're on their, they will, I think this weekend they're doing their 40th podcast. So, and here we're on, what, number 10 or 11, something.
It's pretty impressive still that we're, that we even stuck with it this long.
It really is.
You're all very lucky, is what I'm trying to say. Today is the 14th of June, which is National Gin Day, and also apparently National Bourbon Day, and I guess Flag Day or whatever, but...
Fag Day?
Not Fag Day. Okay. For you, every day is Fag Day.
Hey!
So our cocktail, do you want to describe what it tastes like first, Jimmy?
Yummy. Fruity yumminess, for it being Fag Day.
Our cocktail today is gin with a little maraschino liqueur and lavender simple syrup, and then lemon juice and a little bit of fresh strawberries and fresh mint. I don't really have a name for it, but it's pretty tasty.
No, it really is.
The lavender simple syrup was something that I've been thinking about doing for a couple of weeks now, and finally got around to finding lavender and actually doing it, and it's really easy, and I highly recommend it.
And you said, and you told me earlier that it's one of the few things that you thought about doing, and you executed it exactly how you imagined it would be executed.
Yeah, and for the quick and dirty version, basically, the simple syrup is 5 parts sugar to 4 parts water, heated up until all the solids dissolve, and then remove it from the heat, put the lavender in, and leave it covered for about 30 minutes. I got the lavender, Faith got it actually from Cost Plus. It's about $1.99 for a little bag, and one bag will do about four and a half cups of syrup.
No, it really is good. It's very good, and I highly recommend it here on Fag Day. So, yes, LA is a hockey town now. We have the Kings winning their second Stanley Cup in 3 years.
So there's going to be another lockout next year?
No. Hopefully not. There will be another.
There are that's the one thing I do know about hockey is that there are 1,000 lockouts. It happens all the time.
Actually, basketball. They tend to coincide with basketball a little, because the first big lockout for NHL was they lost the entire 94-95 season.
I remember that.
And then NBA had their lockout in 98 after Jordan's last title. And then there was just a lockout a couple years ago. Last year,
my
memory is
very, yeah. It was 2012, so, right?
Yeah, it was last year. It was last season. It was because I don't know why. I'm sorry. I'm totally out. So anyhow, but
hooray, the drinks aren't that good, guys. Just FYI.
But I got here very hungry, so it's affecting me.
He's hangry right now. He's looking at me, and I can see reflected in his eyes. I've turned into a giant hot dog, a la Warner Brothers cartoons from the 50s.
I do other things with hot dogs.
Why?
Jesus.
Why?
We've gone off the rails already.
Already. We're not even off the first card yet.
No. I've gone through a couple, but I'm sorry, folks. I really am.
Are you? What do you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about hockey and how, sometimes they do some really stupid things, stupid little superstitions that are just really fucking retarded. like the big thing that they have in their dressing rooms, they'll have the logo of the team right in the middle of the room, very large, and you're not allowed to step on it. Like, everyone gets very chappy if you happen to step on it. And so, which begs the question, well, why the fuck do you put it on the floor?
It's a good question.
You know, and whenever I would ask that, no one, like, there was no response. Just, oh, you just can't step on it. Like, are you guys retards? That's my question.
So do you think that hockey is more superstitious than other sports?
No, I mean, it's just as superstitious as any other sport.
You know? But the other ones don't go to the trouble of putting their logo on the floor? I mean,
no, they don't.
Like, LA, I think, Dodgers do have stuff on the floor at the stadium, but, like, no one...
No, not in the clubhouse.
Maybe not.
No.
But, I mean, even in the public, like, I mean, because, yeah, there's a lot of superstition in baseball, but it all seems sort of like...
And there are a lot of unwritten rules in baseball also that are just so fucking retarded. Like, if you look at something the wrong way, it's a slide, or if you bunt at a certain time of the game, it's wrong.
Was it a Deadspin article that was, there's an article really recently about that was great, written by someone. I'll have to go back and find out, because I love it when people just talk about, like, sort of, like, random stuff that sort of applies, and then don't back it up. Yeah, this is a winner of a podcast so far already.
Congratulations, folks.
So, there was a story in, I think it was Deadspin a couple weeks ago, that was about stupid the unwritten rules of baseball are, and how they're actually different for everyone, and that no one really abides by the ones that they tell you about, when you get accepted to a major league club, your patron will take you out to a store and buy you your tequila. Like, the player who's been assigned to you as your baseball big brother or whatever will take you out and buy you a suit at the store. They'll buy you your first suit.
Mm. Yeah, I never understood any of that shit.
It's the kind of lore that surrounds anything, but with baseball, it's magnified to, you know...
Yeah, because you have a lot of fuckwits who romanticize everything about that stupid sport, you know.
Speaking of which, here's my plug. All the Ken Burns documentaries are going away on Netflix on July 1st, so if you haven't watched baseball, which totally sticks its hand up the ass of baseball and flexes, you should really watch it, because it is great, but it's...
And that's a good plug for the fisting stockroom class,
which is next week.
Yes.
So we could actually talk about the climax control class.
Oh yes, I went to last week.
So, like, confession time. I haven't actually ever been to any of our university classes before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've helped set them up, but I've never actually stayed for all of one. I don't think.
How shocking!
I know, I'm a bad person, but. This one had a lot of demos and a lot of nudity and a lot of models, for lack of a better word. Demo bottoms, basically. Especially considering how many people were actually at the class. So, I mean, there were probably like 20, 25 people at the class, and like four or five ladies getting their,
climaxes controlled. Yes.
It was pretty awesome to watch. It was kind of hot. It was kind of hot. It was really funny and engaging. It was lighthearted.
That's good.
As the description, read, and he was, Orpheus Black was super nice. As were all the girls, so.
So A+. So it was boffo then.
It was boffo. It was a class that I wasn't expecting to enjoy as much as I did, so.
Good.
And we'll see if I end up going to fisting class next week.
get all greased up.
We talked a lot about fisting last week, so we won't go back to that well, but, like, listen to minutes, like, 14 through 25 of last week's podcast for an in-depth discussion of all things fisting.
We could go on and on and on about it. I mean, don't get me wrong.
This would be another thing like hockey where you know a lot more about it from personal experience than
Yes, I am currently... My asshole currently resides outside of my body. For being fisted too much.
I call that cauliflower or,
Rosebud.
Rosebud.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So, some notable things with Republicans this week. I try not to get too political.
Because we really hate both parties.
We really do.
I mean, I do.
I do too. But, I mean... So, there seems to be this push in America to send everything backwards. Well, no, actually around the world. This is a good trend. This is trend, not good trend, but this is a trend that's happening. So, Eric Cantor, you know, House Majority Leader, became the first House Majority Leader to lose a primary since the position was created back in 1899 during the McKinley administration.
Can you name some highlights of the McKinley administration?
There was the Spanish-American War.
That was a thing.
That was a thing. And there was the ongoing feud about whether to have goldbacks or silverbacks.
It's pretty good. Also the purchase of Alaska.
Correct.
And
that was back in.
Was that Roosevelt?
No, that was U.S. Grant's. Seward's Folly.
Yeah.
Yes, Secretary of State Seward. No, Andrew Johnson. Sorry, because Seward was Secretary of State. He was He was also supposed to be assassinated with Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, you're right about that.
Yeah, I believe he did get injured, because there was this whole wide conspiracy. It wasn't only to kill Lincoln, it was to kill other people in the administration. They failed to do it.
Yes.
Seward, yeah, and then the
whole... Well, no, and there was a kidnapping plot involved, too. The whole plot around Lincoln is fucking insane.
It is. Anyhow.
But then why is it called Mount McKinley? Just because he got assassinated? In Alaska?
No, he didn't get assassinated in Alaska.
No, he didn't get assassinated in Alaska. That's what I'm saying.
But he eventually got assassinated.
He did.
But
he didn't even. He didn't. He got. He was actually shot at the World's Fair in, I think, Buffalo.
Yes.
My favorite part about it is as he was lying there, mortally wounded, and his Secret Service, trying to restrain him, and the mob was about to tear the assassin apart. The whole assassination around McKinley is kind of fascinating, and plug for Sarah Vowell's book, Assassination Vacation. But,
did, like, an innocent anarchist end up getting on the hook?
No, he was a pretty shitty anarchist, actually, and he was mentally unstable. But
I get all the anarchists confused.
No, he was legit.
Like Sacco and Vanzetti.
He legit shot McKinley. Like it was not. No, he was
I
not
no, yeah, yeah, I know it was.
But he was only loosely associated with anarchist movements. But my favorite part was that McKinley, while he was on the floor, writhing in pain, the mob was. In danger of tearing the guy's name I can never pronounce because it's got like 15 Z's and C's in it.
It's an Italian dude, right?
No. He's Czech, I believe. Maybe Polish, but...
Okay.
Anyway, but...
I have all my assassins all mixed up. Sorry.
McKinley, you know, cried out to his Secret Service to go easy on him, not to hurt him too bad as he was laying dying.
And that eventually became an MC Hammer song. Hammer, please don't hurt him.
I believe the song is called Please Hammer, comma, don't hurt them.
Sure. You know far better than I do. So, anyhow, Eric Cantor in Virginia's 7th District, which comprises of the city, the west side of Richmond, and its suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
they decided that Eric Cantor just wasn't conservative enough for them. So they decided to, the Republicans in that district decided to vote for Professor Dave Bratt, who's, when I heard his name the first time, the first thing that came through my mind was the Ramones song, Beat on the Brat, which whoever the Democrat is needs to use that song. Or is that not PC enough?
I don't think you can use a Ramones song.
Come on, Beat on the Brat. Beat on the Brat with a baseball bat.
Yeah, I think I think that's probably not likely to go.
Oh, come on, it's fun. So you have that, and then in the background, you have this dude in Oklahoma named Scott Esk, not Est, but Esk, running for the State House 91st District. He's a Republican candidate.
Wait. Well, hold on. So he's running for state government?
Yeah.
Okay.
State House.
So
not federal, but state.
There was, I can't remember what it was in, but there was a really good piece in, I think, I want to say it was Cracked, where it was a guide to discerning bullshit in headlines. And when you read, like, a, you know, like, politician says something outlandish, it's almost always at a local or state level, because you can get elected really easily as a Yahoo to those positions. But, like, when it usually, like, federal positions tend to weed out the extra crazies. Special exception case for Michelle Bachmann, but...
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, so this Scott-esque guy. No, that's all right. So he thinks gays should be stoned. At least that was a headline I read. So I decided, okay, let's find out what this motherfucker's about. So here's some choice quotes from interviews and his writings. Ignoring as a nation things that are worthy of death is very remiss.
Does he specify what's worthy of death?
No, he never does. But he claims to abide by the Book of Leviticus.
So, what he's saying is that, like, all those times that my girlfriend stayed over when she was on her period and I didn't keep her in the hut outside the village for 7 days while her blood was up on her.
Yeah. You should be stoned along with us homos. Another fine quote of his.
Does he eat shellfish?
Well, he's from Oklahoma. I don't think they have shellfish.
What about pig?
Probably. He might be a pig fucker.
Well, either way, I mean, like, that's pretty explicitly against those same rules, right?
He shaves. I'm pretty sure he shaves his beard. If men wink at such perversions, God may have no choice than to judge such nations with calamities.
Ooh. I learned a new gay slang term this week, by the way, that I didn't know before.
Oh, bring on the perversions.
It's not actually even that dirty. It was just like, we're reading through hanky code stuff, because we're just sort of like...
Aw, the hanky code.
Well, and like, it's apparently way more complicated. Like, I already actually knew that it was way more complicated. But there's like, there's mosquito netting for outdoor sex and like all sorts of other crazy shit. And then one of them was like, doily for tea room top or tea room bottom. And I'm like, what the fuck is a tea room? It's like,
you never heard of a tea room?
I'd never heard of it. I know what it is now, but
yeah.
I'd never put two and two together. There was actually a special magical phrase for that. It's a public bathroom. Sex in a public bathroom is tea rooming, which is fucking awesome, but...
I mean, you have tea rooms, you have tea bagging.
Tea bagging, I knew. I didn't even connect those two things until just now. Is that where it comes from? Tell me, Jimmy. Tell me about your public bathroom sex experiences.
You know, I never really got into public bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Because I find most of them repulsive.
Yeah.
But I always knew about tea rooms. I knew about tea rooms. Tea bagging I didn't learn until the John Waters movie, Hecker. And that was sort of a revelation to me. But Yeah, so tea rooms, tea bags, yeah, it's common gay vernacular. Ooh, I sounded sophisticated there.
But it was just like, yeah, it was really weird that, because I consider myself pretty, you know, pretty with it. I know most of the terminology, and I'd never heard that term before. And then I was like, oh, of course.
I don't think it's used as much now because of the interwebs and whatnot and apps.
Because that's not really as much of a thing anymore.
No, it's not.
By the way,
like I said in the last podcast, it's sort of sad, the whole romanticism of public sex and violence.
I started outlining my my gay erotic thriller idea that we discussed last week, and I was telling Matt that I had a really good idea for what the poster should look like, which is just it'll be something really dramatic looking, like basically think the cruising poster.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tagline will be like, "There's a killer 100 yards away. Refresh. Now he's 50 yards away. Refresh. Now he's right next to you."
What?
Sorry.
But what the fuck does Matt? I mean, like, who cares what he thinks? He's a pussy, right?
He is a pussy. He's a giant pussy. Like, the only conversation. Although he's like also one of the only people who listens to this podcast. So, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and we have a couple anonymous others. But yes, thank you, Matt.
Anyway,
but apparently you're a pussy, according to Brendan.
Well, it's like, so we're supposed to go to this. We're going to this show today and tomorrow, and like he's you know constantly whining about like his schoolwork isn't going as well as it should be, and I don't know. Now I feel bad because like I'm not going to be able to pull off the kind of like derisive sarcasm that it really deserves at this point. And anyone who doesn't know Matt won't understand like why I'm making fun of him, because he really does take it to heart and it like crushes him a little bit. But that also gives him the inspirational anger to keep going, because he really like he runs on sort of like fumes of hatred, don't you think?
Don't we all, though?
I mean, I think between you, me, Daniel, and Matt, all sort of run on those same kinds of, like that. There is a certain kind of negative energy that converts into positive energy for us. And, like, so we all, like, there's this weird fucking, like loop of horribleness that is a special, like, kind of supportive network that I don't think we could get anywhere else. Where if one of us posts something, especially if one of us posts something on Facebook, the thread between the four of us will be just the most vile, horrific thing you can possibly imagine. But it will, like, all of us, I think, will enjoy it. I do, at least.
My mommy just called me.
Yeah.
Does she
listen to the podcast?
Oh, God, no.
My mom does. I forgot about that. My mom's also one of our loyal listeners. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. No, my mom wisely does not listen to the perversions that spew forth from my mouth. But she's going on a 2-week camping trip, actually, to Yellowstone.
Who?
And she's also trying to make it out to Mount Rushmore and make it up to Canada.
We're, our road trip plans are sort of starting to solidify, and we're going to try and do... We might try and hit just the corner of Yellowstone just so we can say we went. But I'm excited because I get to visit like 3 or 4 states I've never been to before. I've never been to Idaho. I've never been to Montana. I've been to Utah, but not since I was a kid.
And Utah's gorgeous.
And we might have... Yeah, I mean, we did Bryce and Zion when I was a kid. And we're probably going to stop at whichever one is closest to the... to the 15 on our way up to Montana, but like the real jewel is I'm excited about going to the Glacier National Park.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
That's the one I'm excited about. Yeah.
Hi, roommate. He's trying to be very surreptitious and sly, but we heard him opening and closing the door last week, so I decided to address it.
We'll be done in a little bit, Bernie.
Supposedly. He's very shy. Yeah, so
I just like I get this image of like the Sasquatch, like, trying not to disturb the forest around him as he walks through.
Very dainty.
Very daintily. Like, the dainty Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Which would be a really good restaurant, by the way.
The dainty, like, Sasquatch?
Like, if you had, yeah, if you were going to open up, like a vegan restaurant that made vegan versions of, like, lumberjack food, you would want to call it, like, the Dainty Sasquatch, I think.
Like, by Mount Hood or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just like you know, have like, a 96-ounce...
Tofurkey?
No! Seitan, like, steak. You know, like, put it on the grill, like, get, like, big grill marks on it. Just go all out. I'm obsessed with the 96 ounce steaks. And that whole idea of, like, if you can eat the whole thing, it's free.
That really is awesome.
It's kind of great. And I used to have this dream of doing it with pasta, because I can just fucking basically make pasta disappear into my stomach, and eventually it will reappear as fat around my stomach, but for the time being, like, I can eat, like, easily a pound of pasta at one sitting.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that really is. I can't do such things.
Really?
No, I can't. Like, I try. Actually, no, I can eat, like, steak. I can eat massive amounts of steak.
Yeah, I think everyone's got, like, one thing.
Like, and I can inhale it. I can make it disappear in, like, 5 minutes.
And I should say, I don't know if I can do that anymore. I used to be able to do it really easily. Like, I used to be able to just, like, fucking suck down a lot of pasta. And now, like, as I get older, it's a little bit more... And you know, good, because that's not really healthy.
Yeah, but the bad thing about inhaling massive amounts of steak and meat and whatnot is it all comes out like a brick. And so, talk about fisting, you know, you have to, like, loop things up back there before you take a shit.
Like with gravy? Like a gravy enema?
Oh my god, that sounds good! I'm hungry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get off this subject. This horrible, horrible subject. Before we end up comparing, like, let's save that for next week.
I'm picturing gravy enema right now.
The best part is, like, I'm picturing it as this, the force feeding scene from Titty Cut Follies, like, where you've got, like, the giant, you know, like, the tube and the funnel at the top, and the nurse has the cigarette dangling over it and is also, like, just pouring the gravy boat into the funnel.
You know, I'm just picturing a gravy enema and just thinking, wow, I would totally rim that. You know, just get my tongue all over and in, and just...
Can we please move on?
Get my muzzle a froth,
dude. It's Saturday. I've been at work all week. No more rimming imagery for the,
you know,
rest of the weekend.
I now get why Republicans hate me.
Really? You're just getting that.
As Mr. Esk would say, I have tried to use my life to become more like my master, Jesus Christ, every day, and I look forward to applying biblical principles to Oklahoma law. So
look,
I guess...
Here's the thing.
I guess he's not a fan of gravy enemas and rimming and whatnot.
Here's the thing. I think that your lifestyle is much closer to the lifestyle of the Christ than John or James Esk's was. Because the J-Man was not super into judgment.
And he loved prostitutes.
In point of fact, like, the fact that you would mention stoning as a positive thing in the same sentence as Jesus is kind of like, did you just misread that story about Mary Magdalene? Were you like, did you think Jesus's tone was like, hey, everyone line up and grab some rocks?
You know, it's... You think of all these tea partiers and whatnot, and you look at the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, you know, and, like, the folks in Libya and whatnot, and it's hard not to make that connection.
Well, I mean, the problem with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt connection is that the Muslim Brotherhood are actually, like, as much as I don't like them, they're actually being actively oppressed under the new regime.
So the lesson here is we should oppress the Tea Party.
No, the lesson is don't make comparisons between groups that actually are suffering discrimination and groups that think that they're suffering discrimination because the guy that they like isn't in charge. And even then, like, with the problem with the Tea Partiers and the problem with Republicans in general that I have is that their ideas aren't, well, if our guys were in charge, we would be doing this stuff better. It's no. We shouldn't be doing this stuff at all. Like, what are we even doing healthcare for? We should just let the market decide. And like, you know, fuckers, there's a reason why we need healthcare reform. And it's because you guys convinced everyone that we needed to let the market decide for a long enough time that everyone's totally fucked.
Man, I could go for Loco Moco right now.
It's a Loco Moco.
It's a Hawaiian dish with rice.
Uh-huh.
Fried egg. Hamburger patty. Smothered with gravy. Oh.
There is actually a Hawaiian barbecue just right down the street.
I know.
There. Are you going there after you get out of here?
No.
What are you going to get? What are you going to eat? You want some quinoa? I have some quinoa.
Oh, God. Probably get salmonella from that.
Now, can you get salmonella from
that? Well, I know, like, the chia seeds, the chia seeds or whatever, have, like, there's a salmonella, like, threat with, like, a certain brand.
Oh, but there's a good reason for that, because with chia seeds, in most cases, you're not cooking them fully, whereas you're actually cooking, you're cooking quinoa at almost boiling temperatures for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, so it's not like salmonella is going to survive that.
Funny note, a bunch of beef sold by Whole Foods is being recalled. A Whole Foods in the Northeast in New England, mm-hmm. because it might have mad cow disease.
That's bad.
I find that hilarious.
I mean, as a
Whole Foods,
as a vegetarian, I find that really hilarious. But, I mean, that's like mad cow and salmonella and E. coli and other
diseases.
Yeah, well, I was going to say...
Bacterial outbreaks.
There's a specific word in food safety for it.
Bad. But,
yes, that would be one of them. But certain things that aren't supposed to be there are just sort of... I mean, like, you can eliminate cross-contamination possibilities, and you can keep them from being issues, but... You're never going to get rid of salmonella. You're never going to get rid of E. coli as actual potential problems. You can absolutely get rid of mad cow disease by not having animals that are infected with it as part of the as part of the breeding stock, and by not keeping them in the food chain. Which is what usually leads it to happen is cannibalism amongst animals. Animals' foods being adulterated with other infected animals. Anyway, that's my food safety rant. Personally, I'm anti-meat, but in terms of public policy, like, I just kind of want what's best for everyone. That means, you know, making sure that you're not fucking poisoning people.
Well, I guess we should let the market judge that.
And that's the problem with the entire argument for laissez-faire capitalism. Like, I think that if you could clone Adam Smith and bring him back and give him the last 220 years of economic history in this country, there is no way that he would go, yeah, you know, I think my invisible hand metaphor still really holds up. Because it doesn't. Like, in practice, it doesn't work. And if you like capitalism, you should realize that there need to be some kind of controls on it.
Speaking of other capitalists, here's Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. He came to... he spoke in San Francisco Wednesday night to the Commonwealth Club of California.
Mm.
Here's a quote from his little Q&A session. I may have the genetic coding that I'm inclined to be an alcoholic, but I have the desire not to do that. I look at the homosexual issue the same way. This sparks a couple of questions. Is Mr. Perry trying to tell us that he's a closeted queer? Perry, are you queer, boy? Perry, are you gay? I don't know how the... I'm sure that's not the lyrics, but whatever.
I love that song.
Oh, it's a wonderful song. Maybe we'll end with that song. Is he saying that he's a closeted...
It sure the fuck sounds like it, doesn't it?
It really does. And then here's the second question. What exactly is a homosexual issue? Is it like The Advocate magazine? Butt magazine?
I can tell you which of those I would rather read.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And or The Fight.
I mean, like, seriously, just fuck you very much, you people. I mean...
I do really want to talk about the fact that he looks like he's a dead fucking ringer for Harry Hamlin now that he's got his, like, I'm a smart guy glasses on.
Just a fatter version of Harry Hamlin. Because Harry Hamlin sort of looks anorexic.
You're right. He's
actually, most... And I see this on Tumblr a lot, like a lot of gay blogs on Tumblr that like reposting all of the shirtless photos of quote-unquote hot guys with rippling muscles. But they all look anorexic to me. And it's very startling because you see these big arms, these big shoulders, and then you see these, you know, 3-inch waists that just look really unhealthy.
I tell you, it looks weird, right?
It looks very out of proportion.
If from an outside perspective, what I think part of it is that the other part of the other fetish that sort of speaks to you from a marketing perspective would be like the bear look, and so anyone who doesn't have like the super sort of like hyper skinny waist is automatically classified as a bear.
Which is weird.
It's wrong. Yeah. First of all,
it's absurd.
Like bear is a really specific thing. Sorry.
I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Have you watched Where the Bears Are? I think it's a web series. It's a YouTube web series.
I haven't. No.
It's we outfit a lot of it, and they're really really cool, and it's actually a really funny show. That's another plug for something that we're vaguely involved in. But Where the Bears Are is
Where the Bears Are, and Hillbilly Nerd Talk.
Yeah,
I think we're slightly successful, Brendan.
What time are we at?
We are currently at 39 minutes.
Really? Wow.
So I think with the intro and all that, we should be just around the 45-minute mark.
Which is... We were aiming for 30 and figured we would top out at about 45, so that's great.
So what have we learned? We've learned that sports has really retarded superstitions. We've learned that Republicans, for the most part, suck. Mm-hmm. But not in a good way. Mm-hmm. We've learned Matt is a bitch.
Yes.
Even though he has a right to be a bitch.
I guess.
But he's a bitch nonetheless.
Yeah. Well.
We've learned that my mom likes calling at very inopportune times. What else have we learned?
That when you're hungry, you think a gravy enema sounds delicious.
God. Like, I can't get that picture out of my mind. Like, it's amazing. Jesus. And we've learned Jesus is, he likes to be stoned.
He does.
Likes other
people. And, I mean, I, you know, like...
Or he likes other people to be stoned.
I'm...
I think that's where that Oklahoma dude sort of...
I'm with that dude in terms of getting gay dudes stoned, but we have...
But I think he has the wrong vision of that.
Yeah, totally.
So is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that it?
Okay. We finished our cocktails. They were pretty good.
They were. We fished out the strawberries with our fingers.
Not fist. Just to clarify.
Because I do get lispy at times, apparently.
Well, and we talk a lot about fists, and not so much about fish. Anyway.
We are very obsessed with sex.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weirdly, like, I am obsessed with gay fisting, so make of that what you will. Bye, Mom!
So, we'll be back next week.
Yep.
I guess.
We're gonna try it.
Yeah. Bye!
Bye.